Welcome to the ThinkComputer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 163. As always, this podcast is brought to you by Amazon. Go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and buy yourself some winter goodies there. It is hibernation time and you're sitting inside. You're probably playing a lot of video games. Maybe you're going to build some PC stuff. Buy some stuff through that link. It kicks a little bit of money back to us. It costs you absolutely nothing. It just helps us put this podcast on, which we greatly appreciate. With us today, as always, is Bob. What's up, Bob?
What's up, man? How's your winter Tuesday going?
Dude, it's I'd say like Snowmageddon or one of those other cliched terms, but they're cliche. So it's about the worst winter time that I've seen in a long time.
Really? That means it's coming. That means it's coming for me because you get it first and then it's coming. We're supposed to have -6, -7. Today's Wednesday. Yeah. Or today's Tuesday. So yeah, Wednesday.
Yeah.
We're supposed to have -6 degrees, which doesn't sound fun by any means.
How does -50 sound?
Ugh.
Because that's what we're looking at tomorrow.
Really? Is that with wind chill or is that just like...
That's adjusted. Yeah. I don't know what the actual temperature, but it's actually a state of emergency here right now for the weather. So.
Yeah. So they said like -20 wind chill here. So it's not going to be fun. Yeah. I'll be inside. No. I'll be shooting videos and doing tech stuff and probably won't be playing games because I haven't had time. I've been wanting to play so many games, like especially since like, you know, Epic Games is doing that like free game every 2 weeks thing. Like I've wanted to just like even play some of those games. I haven't had time.
I mean, websites don't build themselves though, you know.
Yeah, I know. At Battlefield 5, like I was playing it to get to a point to do our benchmarks, and then I haven't touched it like since doing benchmarks. So
that's a bummer.
Yeah,
I want to play that. I am going to play that eventually here, but I'm curious about the campaign. I'm hoping this one's actually decent.
So. Yeah, the war stories. I mean, I haven't played that many of them, but it's like the each one's a different story and you're like a different character. It seems cool, but I haven't got into it enough to really say if it's like worth purchasing the game, if that's what you're purchasing the game for.
Is it too like being individual stories? Like that's a cool idea, but is it also too disjointed to keep you playing?
I don't know if they go into each other, because again, I set the game up to benchmark. So like, I was like, okay, which part of this story do I want to use for the benchmark?
Right.
And I kind of just did that. Like a place where I could walk the same way without getting attacked randomly and things like that. Like that's kind of what I did.
Right.
So I can't tell you that. So,
I will be just trying it eventually. I might even hold out a really long time until it's like its first Steam sale, maybe. Watch it, you know, save $20 or something like that.
You mean Origin.
Oh, is it not doing that anymore?
Yeah.
Did they still sell it on Steam?
I don't believe so. I'm almost 100% positive that all EA games are now on
Origin.
Yes, everything
exclusive. Well, then chances of that happening are much lower. But
yeah, but they do have sales. They try to do like their stuff does go on sale. It's not like crazy Steam sales, but sometimes like I remember like their towards the end of last year they had that crazy sale where like everything was like 75% off, which was pretty good.
That was a good one, but. Did it do everything though? I don't remember.
The only thing that wasn't on sale was Battlefield 5 because like it came out like a couple weeks before.
Oh, okay.
But everything else was on sale.
Right.
Because
I'll just have to keep my eyes peeled for that one. See if
that's when I bought Battlefront 2, which I haven't played at all either. So yeah. But let's get into what we have going on this week. Let's get into some tech. Two really great products this week. I reviewed both of them, and I was really excited to get into the first one, which was the Zotac Gaming GeForce RTX 2060. So this basically is the step below the RTX 2070, obviously, in the naming scheme of things. And we got to see this card launched at CES. And to a lot of fanfare, really, I think the main reason is just price. Like, it is the most affordable of the RTX line so far. And it kind of sits in that, like, that's what most people are spending on a graphics card price, right? It's $349. The specific one too, the Zotac gaming card is also $349. And just in general, the this card is like a 1440p at pretty high settings, like almost the highest settings you're going to get as far as performance. And or if you're like rocking like 1080p on like say like 144 hertz monitor, this is like a card that can do that. So for $349, I think it is a pretty good, you're getting a pretty good performance for the card itself. And that's just going to be any of these RTX 2070s. You know, like anywhere between 2060? Like, or did I say, what did I say? 1060?
You said 70. Just want to make sure.
Messing up already, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, like the performance is like between a GTX 1070 Ti and a GTX 1080. So, and you are getting like the RT cores, which can be used for ray tracing, although I would not suggest it at 1440p. It really still is taxing on
the card.
Yeah, on the card. But the big thing about the RTX series is the DLSS, or the Artificial Intelligence Agent, or Agency. I almost said agency. Artificial Intelligence that
eventually, eventually that'll be a thing. I'm sure.
I know, right? which basically, DLSS is just like, it's so hard to explain because I've tried to explain this multiple times. But it basically is a way to sort of predict the upcoming frame and do it in a better way. And if your game does support DLSS, you're going to see a vast improvement in frame rate. So there's about, like, I think close to 30 games now that support DLSS.
And about the same that support ray tracing, right?
Yeah, yeah. They're kind of like the same ones. But some big titles, Battlefield does, Final Fantasy does, like a couple games that the new upcoming Anthem game will support it as well. So that's something that's going to bring a lot more performance to this card, which I do like. But again, the game has to support it. So none of the bigger, I don't believe any of like the bigger esports titles support it currently. I don't think.
PUBG does.
PUBG does. And I don't believe...
Nothing really. What about the farming simulator? Is that some more?
We didn't even put that in our in our show notes today. We should talk. Yeah. We'll talk about that at the end because there's some gaming news. But yeah, so PUBG's on there. Fortnite is not. But as DLSS comes along, you will, like I said, it just brings more to this card. That's like something to be excited about.
It adds performance through software, essentially.
Yeah. So that's something that if, you know, NVIDIA, the big company that they are, they work with these developers and it gets into a lot of games, it's going to be a plus to have this card. Now, the Zotac Gaming Twin Fan card that we did review looks exactly like their AMP card. I really like this design. It's kind of like a little bit, it's kind of like an upgraded design from like the 10 series reference cards. It just looks really good. Dual cooling fans, and it's just a solid looking card. There's no RGB lighting on this. You do get a full backplate, which is nice, especially since this is a $349 MSRP card. So like their AMP card, which is overclocked and has some RGB lighting, will be more expensive. This card is,
but you're gonna see 2060s that don't even have a backplate on them. So
correct, we saw some at CES. There's
value.
I think a Gigabyte one, an EVGA one, a couple other ones that don't. So overall, I think this is just a solid card. Like it's a really good card. The AMP version's $20 more, so it's like you might as well kind of go for the AMP version.
Yeah, it doesn't, that the $20 doesn't put you close to any other card, so.
Yeah.
It's not like you're into the like, oh, I might as well get a 2070 zone. You're not even close to that, really. So
yeah. So you know, and with these cards, so NVIDIA doesn't cannibalize their higher end cards. You can't do, you know, NVLink SLI. So it's not supported.
That's a huge disappointment.
Yeah. So I loved
the fact that in the past you could just grab a 60 series card and like it would be an 80 series card after you SLI'd it. But
yeah,
that is, so. they finally got wise to that. So.
Yeah. But no, this is like one of the better RTX 2060s at the $349 price point. It's just that good of a card. And it looks great. The backplate's cool. It doesn't have, the only thing it doesn't have is like RGB lighting, but you're really not going to get that on a lot of the cards that have are at that price point. So it's just a solid overall card. It is stock clocked. I don't know if I mentioned that, but you're getting the reference clocks and all that. So,
but it is their reference card. So
yes. So yeah. So really, really good card. Get a 2060 if you're looking in that price range. They're all pretty, pretty good. So, yeah. And then moving on from that, we have a motherboard, and I took a look at ASRock's Z390 Extreme 4. If you're familiar with ASRock motherboards, the Extreme 4 is kind of like it has everything, right? Whereas the Tai Chi is more like kind of more super enthusiast type board, and the Phantom Gaming is, of course, their gaming line. So this is kind of like their solid all-around board. It has everything that you want, whether you're a gamer, whether you're an overclocker, whether you're an enthusiast. It has sort of a mixture of features that everybody's going to like, and this board is just pretty much has all that. You know what I mean? It's a solid board. For Z390, you're going to want, you know, multiple graphics card support. So this supports NVLink as well as Crossfire. You have dual M.2 slots on this, one that does have the integrated heatsink.
Nice.
You have USB 3.1 support on this as well. So those are like the main features kind of like of the Z390 chipset that you're kind of going to want. It does have a 12-phase power design, so overclocking on this was no problem at all.
It's 12? I thought I counted 14 just now.
I think there's two for memory.
Oh, okay. I'll go with you because you reviewed it.
Yeah. And they this has like their XXL aluminum heat sinks, where we reviewed the Phantom Gaming SLI AC board. And when we went to overclock, those VRM heat sinks couldn't handle it. These, no problem.
Yeah, I remember that.
So, you know, overclocking our 9900K, we got it to 5.1 gigahertz. Pretty much no problem.
All core?
All core. All eight cores. Nice. 5.1 gigahertz. So pretty nice. Pretty solid board all around. It has an extra 4-pin if you want to bring even more power into that CPU if you were doing some even more intense overclocking.
Or just to stabilize it.
Yeah, it destabilized it as well. Unlike most boards, so like the Z390 chipset gives you six gig ports. This board has 8, so you're getting 2 from an AS media controller. So this is for like a lot of legacy people, maybe using a lot of either SSDs or even older hard drives. You have the support there too.
Mm-hmm.
That
makes sense on an ASRock board.
Yeah, it's just a good board. It does have RGB lighting, something we always have to mention. It's not addressable RGB lighting, so you're not going to be able to do like the wave and all that kind of stuff. But it's just solid RGB lighting around the PCH heatsink, on the I/O cover, and then on the audio cover. And they have two 4-pin RGB headers and a 3-pin addressable RGB header. So all your RGB needs are taken care of. And we did see it at CES. Razer was talking about how everything can be used through Chroma. The ASRock Polychrome works with Chroma, so you can kind of, you know, if you have RGB products from different companies, if they're part of the Chroma program, they can all work together, which is kind of nice too. So it's a solid board.
Yeah,
it's cool. It's around 190 or 159, sorry. It's like $154.99, not a bad price. Solid board is going to give you everything. And if you're kind of like, you know, you don't like the whole gaming thing, and you don't need like the crazy features of like the Tai Chi, this is like a total, like, has everything board, good price. The software is not that bad. It seems a little bit dated compared to like, say, like Asus and Gigabyte, and even MSI, but it is a good board. I like it.
Nice.
So yeah. So if you're looking to build a Z390 system, definitely check out this board. It'd be you could totally build a solid system for this, and you can definitely overclock on it. That's a big thing with a lot of people. So check out that review, and then that will bring us to Case Mod Friday, which is, of course, where we cover a build or mod that's been completed in the community. And this week we have a scratch build. It's called Vulcan X Scorpion. And it is from, I can't say his name. We've featured him before.
Su Shao
Modding and Design. He's done a lot of like crazy scratch builds. Like I remember the gun that he had.
You love this guy.
I like this guy. He does really good work.
You love like the gun scratch builds. There, your thing. He does great work. It's just, it's got to be your thing, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I wouldn't say this is necessarily my thing. Like, I wouldn't want this as my computer. I wouldn't want this sitting next to me.
Right.
As a company, I would like this as a showpiece because you know people are going to come over and check it out.
That's very true.
So this is sort of like, it reminds me of like the Scorpion thing from the, I think it was the first Transformers movie.
I believe. I think it was the second. You might be right. When they're in the desert by the pyramids. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's designed as a Scorpion, but there's a full PC in there, which is pretty impressive. This is done for, this was a build done for Colorful. So like all the components are colorful. You have like colorful graphics GPU cards, DDR, like everything in there, you know. It looks really cool. It's, and the quality of just like the scratch build is pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's great. The build quality, just the design and the fit and finish on it is like, it's pro level, right? Like this looks like it was a manufactured piece.
Yeah.
The only thing that I take away from some of these builds, and this one I think falls in that category, is that it's very, very little as far as actual like modding goes for like the actual components. They're just kind of like hidden inside it, aside from the GPU. I do like the GPU and like the spine area. That's pretty cool. But other than that, it just kind of like tucks everything inside it. And I don't get into that as much as I get in. Like I like when like the parts are, you know, water cooled and other.
I agree with you there. This one's more of like the main center is where the computer is, and then everything else is built out around it. We have seen ones where like say the guns, like the tubes were actually like part of the water cooling and all of that. This is still good. I like it. And it looks like, as we talked about before, one thing that if you look at the last row of three pictures, the one of the guns, there is like about USB ports on the guns.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But besides that, and I believe that pops up. Yeah. Like that section, or maybe it doesn't. I'm not sure.
The front panel header. Yeah.
Yeah. But in any case, yeah, this looks like something from a movie set almost. So it's really well done. If you're a fan of scratch builds, I would say definitely check this one out. I like it.
It's worth checking out. It's just, it's a specific genre of case builds. So
yes. So check that out. But if you're not a fan of that, of course, just check out our Case Mod Friday section. We have a ton of builds that we've been featuring.
Plenty others. Yeah.
And we just did, in that section, you also find our case mods from CES and the best case mods from 2018. So some cool stuff in there to check out for sure. So that brings us to news. And the big leak this morning, actually, was that benchmarks for the Radeon 7 have emerged.
Yeah.
And, you know, we got briefed on this card at CES. We got to see it. We got to pick it up. We got to touch it. We got to play.
Got the hype spiel.
We got the hype spiel. We got to play Division 2 with the card, but
I got to die and lose in Division 2 with the card. And
but, you know, no real benchmarks, right? It looks like people have the card and they've been testing it. And people have scoured these. There's all these people who, shout out to all the people who scour the internet to find these benchmarks in the databases. So we have 3DMark, their Firestrike benchmarks, Firestrike, Extreme, and Ultra. And it looks like, so just to give you kind of a basis, an RTX 2080, an overclocked RTX 2080 will score 26,800 graphic score in the Firestrike benchmark. And the Vega card, Radeon 7 scores 27,587, which means it's beating it, at least in that test.
What? Where are you reading that from?
The graphics score.
Yeah.
It's very hard.
You gotta click in on it.
So it's beating it in the graphics score, and it's also beating it in the ultra graphics score, very close. But it is beating it in that test. So that looks pretty good. That it's beating in a factory overclocked
2080.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Seems pretty awesome. But
yeah,
if you go to the Final Fantasy world benchmarks, which basically what they do is they all the benchmarks that are submitted, they just put them in a graph, and it doesn't look good for this card.
It's not even slightly
standard quality. It's beating a 2070, but not beating a it's beating a 2070, not by much, and it's not beating a 1080 Ti. And then at 1440p high quality, it is not even
garbage.
Yeah, it's not doing good. Now, this is an NVIDIA title, so that means that some NVIDIA cards possibly will perform better. And this isn't like a straight somebody tested this with the same setup. This is everybody's benchmark that's been submitted, and they just categorized
right them. So it can vary greatly.
It can vary a lot, but this is just like the first leak. At least we're seeing like semi-decent performance. with AMD cards, it's just been, you know, but as we've been saying for like weeks about different products, it's like wait till the proper reviews come out for this, because that's the only way to really get the
you need everybody's independent testing on this is what you really need.
This card,
and we need finished drivers too.
Yeah, that's a big thing. I mean, it comes out in about 10 days on February 7th. So
do you think the drivers are actually in the wild yet though? Probably not.
Typically when there's a launch, unless the card's been like ready for a while, you typically get them like 3 days before. So I don't think the final drivers are ready, but it is interesting to see the performance, you know what I mean.
It's interesting, like you said, that it's not it's in the same ballpark for at least for the synthetic testing, which makes me think that once you get on an even driver playing field, it might be pretty decent. I'm not expecting it to beat the 2080 though, like it did in Firestrike.
Yeah.
I just don't think that's probably going to happen, but maybe.
You know, we'll have to see. Yeah. But the first leaks are here. Check out our post to see kind of all the details and all of that. And then talking about stuff that, you know, we've been talking about for a while is NVIDIA GTX 1660 Ti. There's been some more leaks. This card definitely is coming. Somebody snapped a picture at some NVIDIA event or NVIDIA like something where
some sort of a summit
or something that I assume you couldn't take photos at because this is the only photo that was leaked from that event that shows an NVIDIA somebody talking in an NVIDIA logo, and then it says new GTX Turing, and it shows a picture of a card, and it says GTX 16 we don't know
166.
So we don't know. But I mean, these cards are coming because there's even more leaks, which first of all, Hard OCP has said through their various industry contacts that the 1660 Ti is in fact coming. The card will be $279. What do you say? What do you think?
I believe it, but I still think that that's too much. I believe I said I want this card to be $230. Yeah.
So last week, it looks like they'll have a 1660 Ti for $279. Then they'll have a 1660, which will have fewer cores and GDDR5 memory for $229. And there's also going to be a 1650 for $179. Both the 1660 non-TI and the 1650 will launch in March, whereas the 1660 TI is supposed to launch next month sometime.
I feel that 280, so you're $70 less than the 2060. I feel like that's too much money for a 1080p card. It's just, you need to be, I stand by, you still need to be down to that 230. That's just the, that's the mark that, honestly, that's the mark that the 2060 should probably be around if we're being reasonable. But I mean, that's what the age we live in now. So I think 280 is just too much, and that I don't think the 1660 will probably be very good performance for much.
Do you think
at all.
So you don't think the 1660 Ti will be able to do 1440p?
No.
Okay.
No, not. I mean, that's your 2060. That's your 1440p card.
Yeah.
You want to bring it in like underneath that? I don't think that's Nvidia's done some really dumb stuff lately, so maybe. But I mean, that'd be a really poor move.
Yeah, because I mean, you think about it. You have your 2060, and then this could be like, they could say this is the other 1440p card, but you just don't get ray tracing and DLSS and all that stuff.
I don't think it'll do it.
You don't think?
Right. No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know. We haven't seen really many leaks for this card as far as performance and things like that.
Do they believe in ray tracing? Do they believe in DLSS? If they do, they shouldn't have a card that allows you to run without it. That's just launched.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean? That isn't...
I don't think they can put a card in the under 250 price that has that technology.
I mean, maybe not. I don't know.
You're just like, I mean, it's just, it's weird. And the whole naming thing is just weird as well, because like, you know, we think the new cards are the 20 series. So what's the 16? Like what, you know,
that's poor. Yeah. That's poor marketing.
Yeah, so I don't know what Nvidia is doing.
It's
going
to confuse people and make people wonder what exactly the cards are.
But there has been another leak for models. So this card definitely is coming for everybody who thinks it's not. Definitely coming. What? Both MSI and Gigabyte models have been leaked as well. So MSI is going to have four 1660 Ti's. You're having Gaming Z and Armor 6G. A Ventus XS, which might be like a smaller card, it seems, because the XS, but I could be wrong. And the 1660 Ti Gaming X. And then Gigabyte's going to have a ton of different cards. I'm not going to go over all those. We have them all listed because there's a bunch.
Yeah, I think four cards at the 1660 Ti SKU is a fair number. Gigabyte going for 12?
Yeah, but they have their Auras cards and they have their Gigabyte card. But yeah, this we'll see. I think we'll get more information on what all this card's about probably in the next couple of weeks. I assume there's going to be leaks on this, because you know, there's always leaks on this kind of stuff. So just stay
probably
tuned for it.
Next week, yeah.
If you're looking for that price range, I would just wait, because it's going to be coming very soon. So, but let's go back to the actual high performance cards. And Colorful, who is a company that we don't see their cards here in the US, sadly, they released a RTX 2080 with no cooler at all, just a blank PCB. And this is actually pretty cool if you're doing water cooling. So the whole idea is that instead of buying a card, taking the cooler off of it and installing your own pre-built or installing your own full cover water block, you just don't have to deal with any of that. You just buy the kind of blank card.
None of the hassle of removing the screws, which could potentially cause some damage. There's some things that could happen there, and then there's always pulling the cooler off and then like forgetting to unattach the fan. So this just saves you the hassle and the potential damage that you can cause your card. And although most companies don't have they still honor the warranty when you remove the cooler, I mean, it just takes that all out of play.
Yeah, and this is really, Colorful is like a Chinese company. A lot of like the internet cafes and LAN centers and all that over there, they all water cool their graphics cards because of like how much heat each one creates. So like just air conditioning costs and everything factors into it. So I think it's awesome. Just for this. And I think just not only if you're an enthusiast, but for those, you know, internet cafe owners and just people who want to like kind of do their own thing. It just, like you said, it saves time and it just makes it so much easier.
I'd like to see like a Kingpin edition of this, maybe a Lightning version as well, you know, just, although on the other hand though, for those companies, those US companies, or US faced companies, you lose out on your custom CPU or block version of your card, you know, your Hydro or whatever you want to call it.
But
options are good. I think that there's a large portion of people that are, this is all they're going to buy the card for, you know.
Yeah,
might as well give them the option.
I like that they give you the option. And yeah, it just makes sense. It just like saves so much time. So let's move to AMD. And for all those who have been waiting for Zen 2 and Ryzen 3 processors, well, a 12-core Zen 2 processor has been spotted in the user benchmark, which is pretty awesome. So 12-core, 24-thread AMD parts. It is an engineering sample.
Mainstream
part. So look, it really does look like we could be getting 12 core in the mainstream, which is insane.
It's gonna show the old 9900 way around.
Yeah. CPU is listed with a base clock of 3.4 gigahertz and an average boost clock of 3.6. I wouldn't take any of the clocks into consideration because it is an engineering sample, for one.
Almost always downclocked.
Yeah, it's always downclocked. It does have 105 watt TDP and 32 megabytes of L3 cache. Did I say 105 watts? Did I say megabytes? Yes.
Nope, you said watts.
Okay, I'm like losing my mind today. 105 watt TDP and 32 megabytes of L3 cache. So something to look forward to. We know we're more than likely not going to see any of these like officially from AMD till Computex. So that's a long time away. We're at the end of January and that doesn't happen till the end of what, June? Or beginning of June?
I don't know. Mid-June, I think.
Yeah. I really think this is going to happen. It just kind of makes sense.
In the 100%.
The way that AMD is going with these processors, it just makes sense. Yeah. So I'm really excited. Also,
it's a fantastic opportunity to capitalize on the success they've had and really drive that dagger home into Intel, you know? Just bring it. Looking forward to this.
Yeah,
and I am 100% belief that this is coming out at Computex. So
yeah, 100% too. I agree with you there. So definitely something to look forward to on the AMD side. Also talking about AMD, they've done some restructuring of their leadership team, and the big thing that came out of it was our good friend James Pryor, who we met with at CES, is no longer with the company, which is kind of weird. You know, we had met with him at CES and he was very excited to tell us about Zen 2 and Ryzen 3.
Like as enthusiastic as he could be.
Yeah. He put a tweet up saying that he looks forward to his new adventure filled with family fun and good work. We don't know where he's going. And nobody really does at this point. He was kind of the face of Ryzen from... when it started, I remember him giving us the initial pitch on the redoing their processors. I mean, I remember all of that.
Yeah.
And
he was definitely the consumer face of it. And that he did a lot of like streams and stuff too.
He did streams. He talked with the smaller, publications like us to very large ones like Forbes and Wall Street Journal and like all that stuff. I mean, he was the guy and he was the person that we met with every year at CES. And again, I mean, we don't know what the situation was, but like for him to be as in as excited about Zen 2 and Ryzen 3 Ryzen 3000 series processors at CES, and then literally 2 weeks later, or maybe three, he's no longer with AMD. It is weird. Yeah. And we had talked about, like, maybe the culture there is bad. I mean, we've seen a lot of high-profile people leave the company in the past year. Number one being Raja Koduri, who left to join Intel. I mean, could Intel have, you know, made an offer to James? We don't know.
They did, so that's monumental.
Could, again, could the culture be bad? We don't know what happened. But obviously, he is like one of the better guys in the industry, I would say, especially in such a high position, that is always made time for smaller publications and always, you know, has just been a good guy all around. So we wish him the best, and we don't know where he's headed, but I'm sure we'll find out soon enough, and I'm sure he'll do great wherever he's going. So rather interesting.
Best luck to him. Best luck to AMD continuing on without.
Yeah.
Easy to fill shoes like that.
Yeah, and we saw that with Raja Koduri. I mean, there's not really somebody.
I mean, yeah, GPU took a pause, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it really nothing until the 7, nothing has come from them since he left. So.
Yep.
I mean,
yeah,
we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens now. Yeah. I mean, the good thing is that, you know, we've more than likely we've got the new processors coming, the 3000 series. So
yeah,
should be a good, you know, they should be in good shape for now at least.
Yeah, at least this generation.
We had specifically asked James, like, what, how secure do they believe their future is as far as processor is concerned, and he was very confident that they have this, they're road mapped out for years to come, so, and very confident in their processes. So I think that they're good, we'll hope he's good, and everybody will just continue on.
Yeah, I agree 100%. So
yeah,
let's move over to Intel. And it looks like they're working on a new version of an i9-9900. It's an i9-9900T, and it's a low-power version. So this is their 8-core, 16-thread processor, which typically has a TDP of 95 watts. If you overclock it, you're going over that, like 100, 110, 115 watts, really. this one's going to be 35 watts.
Not bad.
They've been able to do that by bringing the base clock down from 3.6 gigahertz to 1.7 gigahertz and the boost clock down from 5 gigahertz to 3.8 gigahertz. The only reason I would, like, if you're an enthusiast, you don't want this part at all because the clocks are so low. But if you're somebody maybe doing, like, they show it here in an H310 motherboard, like something where you need a lot of cores, but you don't need a whole lot of, like, horsepower in those cores, and where power is, like, a big thing, this is where this is going to sit in. It's not an enthusiast part by any means.
Well, it's a very specific enthusiast.
Yeah.
It's an enthusiast that they run something that's extremely highly threaded and not a heavy workload, though.
Yeah, it's not
so very efficient program that basically a very efficient program. That's what this would be best at.
Yeah. Yeah. So I believe today Intel actually announced it. I'm not really sure. Or it showed up online, like, actually for sale somewhere. But yeah, it's just like another low power. I like that that you know, this is something that, like, there is a segment for, albeit not probably not that massive, but there is one.
You think like a sciencey group maybe where they're like operating remotely on some things?
Yeah, and like I said, like the H310 chipset type people, you know what I mean? So it's there. I always like bringing power thresholds down. Yeah, it's a thing.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about, we were talking about AMD, and actually I should have done this before we went to Intel, but there's been another leak. It's the same website. It is the Eurasian Economic Commission website. It's a great way. A lot of people found links there lately. We have the names of Asrock's upcoming X570 motherboards. These are the boards that will be used on Ryzen 3000 series processors. And I'll go through them really quickly. We have the X570 M Pro 4, the X570 M Pro 4 R2, which is weird that they're already announcing an R2 version. The X570 Pro 4, the X570 Pro 4 R2, the X570 Phantom Gaming X, the X570 Phantom Gaming 6, the X570 Phantom Gaming 4, the X570 Extreme 4, and the X570 Tai Chi. So this is pretty much what you would expect from ASRock. We know their Phantom Gaming line, we know their Pro line, we know their Tai Chi, and we know their Extreme line. So not a whole lot really of a surprise, but they are here. They are, you know, they're ready to go, it seems like. And it's just something they have to wait on. We talk about these leaks and stuff. It's exciting to know like what boards are coming. We have no pictures, none of that stuff. And it's just a long wait for this one, because we're pretty much like 100% positive these are coming out at Computex, so that's a ways away.
A little early for that leak, but that's okay.
We saw this case at CES. It became official this week, or last week, I believe. Fantex did announce their Eclipse P600X, which is basically made to be a hybrid silent and high performance case. This thing was just really well done. We have a whole video on it, so you're going to want to check that out. But it is official. It's $149 for the tempered glass version, and then $139 for the no window edition that only comes in black. But this is just a solid case. I really want to get this case into review. It's just a nice case.
Absolutely.
Yeah, very high quality.
It pretty much ticks every box when you're like, oh, but I want to change. Oh, nothing. I don't think I'd really change anything. And it gives you options as well. Like, as you said, it's a hybrid case. You just remove panels and it's got high airflow.
Yeah.
And if you're not that guy, then you throw the panels on.
Like I said, like, say we're doing the podcast right now, right? I want a quiet system next to me, right? But then I'm like in coding or gaming, just take those panels off for that time and let the air flow, you know?
And then, of course, it has all the standard Fantex things, all the well-thought-out connections and features that we are used to seeing from them.
Yeah, so highly recommended case. We should be getting one into review here soon, so I'm kind of excited about that. And then that brings us to a story that it's not all that surprising from Thermaltake, because we've seen it before. But it looks like a legal battle will be brewing between Thermaltake and Mayhems. If you're not familiar with Mayhems, they make coolant for liquid cooling systems that pretty much like this. You're the water cooling guy. It's pretty much the standard.
It is the coolant. There is no other coolant.
Okay.
Nothing else. Everybody makes a coolant, but nothing else seems to work like Mayhems does. Everything else causes issues. Mayhems is phenomenal, and it's basically like out of a garage, you know? Like, originally it was like out of a garage. So it's a really cool story for this guy too, Michael Wood. He's pretty well known in the modding scene. Everybody knows Mayhems in the modding scene, but yeah. So do you want to keep telling the story, or you want me to keep?
Oh yeah. So okay. Yeah. At CES, Thermaltake showed us their new coolants, and one was the P1000, which is their pastel coolant. And the issue with that is that Mayhems owns the trademark for the word pastel in like any type of coolant product. We have a link, or I didn't put the link in the article. I will put the link in the article to their trademark page in the UK, where they own that trademark. I can't believe it, man. I'm just not with it today. So they own that trademark. So any company that wants to use the word pastel in a coolant name or product.
Yeah, just in conjunction with a water coolant. Yeah. A water cooling coolant. Yeah.
They either can't, or they have to make a deal with Mayhems. And both Alpha Cool and EK have in the past. And it seems, at least according to Michael Wood's statement, he put a statement up on Facebook that basically Thermaltake has not has not, you know,
well, they've declined to make a deal.
Yeah, they basically declined to make a deal, and that now Thermaltake is threatening to challenge their registered trademark in court, which sounds pretty shitty. And this is like not the first time Thermaltake really has had a run-in with smaller companies. Obviously, last year the big one was Case Labs. I mean, they basically, from all accounts, copied a Case Labs case as far as like looks and everything like that.
The copy wasn't last year. That case was 3 years ago, I think.
Okay, yeah.
When they were accused of that, but it was basically the SMA. They basically copied that.
And I mean, they had another case which we actually reviewed. I forget which one it was. That was basically like the Fractile Design case almost yeah. to a T. And yeah. then the EK case with like the curved window, Thermaltake also has a case that looks exactly like that. Yeah. In the case of Case Labs actually ended up closing down this past year. And they had to issue an apology to Thermaltake. I guess, you know, Thermaltake's a massive company and they have lawyers for all this stuff. And, yeah. you know, a small company like Case Labs does not. And they were probably forced to make that apology, and, you know.
Yeah, they didn't stand a chance on it. Yeah,
so we don't know what's going to happen. We'll obviously keep you guys updated. But, you know, if somebody owns a trademark, you just can't do it. But, I mean, it does show that Thermaltake kind of just doesn't care.
Do you think they even looked?
I don't know.
The way they do things, it's almost like, okay, if they do look, it's very nefarious.
Well, that I mean, that they're doing, they obviously the look, they them. Copy the cases.
Well, with the cases, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but like I mean, the naming, I can understand that you might think that using the word pastel is okay because you think of it as such a generic term. But if you really start to think about it, it really isn't a generic term. It's very specifically describes like a specific coolant look. And that's been, you know, that's been trademarked. And you didn't come up with the idea. They were by far not the first ones to come up with that by years. So it's, it's... It is very interesting because we actually we put an article up about these new coolants during CES week, or actually just at the end, I think. And within like a day or two, I had a message from Michael asking us to take it down or change it because they don't actually have the rights to that. And he was very, very good about it. It wasn't like a takedown notice. It was, hey, these guys don't have this. And he was extremely cool about it. And we chatted about it a little. And I imagine that he was the same way with Thermaltake, because he claims that he was very open with them and not aggressive, but they're just not being receptive as I suppose we should expect.
Yeah, I mean, Thermaltake is a Taiwanese company, I believe. I believe. I could be wrong. But in any case, yeah, it just, from the past, it doesn't seem like they care. You know what I mean?
I mean, they've continued to do it, especially, like, it's like they get away with it, and so it's like, it's emboldening them, you know?
Yeah.
Like, why should we stop when it's so easy to just keep copying?
Yeah. So we wish the best to Michael and even Thermaltake. We wish they would come to some type of an agreement. I mean,
we don't like the right thing to do.
We don't like to see companies get into legal battles over something like that. And obviously for Mayhem's, like, I mean, that's just money that they don't have that type of money like Thermaltake does.
Right. Yeah.
So yeah. So
yeah. Even as successful as they are, it is much more niche than Thermaltake gets into. And yeah, you were right. They are Taiwanese.
Yeah. So. So we'll talk about gaming then.
Sure.
So, and talking about legal, problems and things, it looks like Fortnite is being used to launder money. So basically, people steal credit card numbers and they buy in-game content, from, Epic Games, like V-Bucks and other things. And then they sell that on eBay or other places, social media, and they sell it for crypto. Which means that their cash went in to buy this, stolen cash went in. They bought the product. That product got sold for crypto, which is untraceable.
Right.
And now it's,
it's basically they're washing their money.
Yeah. That's how, and it obviously, like we had talked about this, last week, you and I, and a lot of in Oz and our friends, they're like, this is no surprise. I mean, this is the biggest esports game where people are spending vast amount of money And it's probably happens all the time with other games as well. This is just the one that came to light because it's the biggest biggest game out there.
Yeah, it's been it's being investigated quite a bit too.
Yeah, so this research company found that Fortnite items on eBay grossed more than $250,000 in a 60-day period last year. And most of the sellers were only accepting cryptocurrency as a form of payment.
Which all makes sense.
Yeah, so I wouldn't say don't buy Fortnite stuff on eBay because you're helping money launderers, because I mean
than likely you are, but
more than likely you are, but I mean if it's discounted, I mean why not? I mean I don't know. That's like, oh, I mean, don't buy the fake sunglasses from the guy for $20. Is this, or whatever. I don't know.
I think that I think that the biggest thing is that you're supporting like groups that are probably doing a lot of other things that are much, much worse than this.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
But you need your stuff. So
So
I don't know I was gonna say like a Fortnite thing, but I don't know what you buy. Do you buy guns or
you buy skins? You don't buy anything skins, see what's very interesting about Fortnite is that you can't buy anything that makes you better.
Right. Like
you can't buy better guns, you can't buy skills or anything like that. It's all cosmetic, and that's how they're making all their money. Isn't that wild? That's crazy.
It's wild, but I mean, from some of the gaming podcasts I listen to, it is absolutely the world of gaming right now. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's just nuts. That is not something that we would have predicted even like, even 5 years ago.
Probably. Oh, no, not at all. Like, oh, I'm going to make my game free. I'm going to do all the, like, there's not going to be any private servers. It's all, we're going to take the whole brunt of the hosting cost and everything. And obviously continually update the game, like, all the time, and
we're gonna incur massive costs all the time.
Yeah, and we're just gonna sell cosmetic items. That's it. Like,
wouldn't have believed it.
Yeah,
I would have said, nobody's gonna buy them. Everybody's buying them.
Yeah, everybody is buying them. But we talked about it earlier in the podcast, but we didn't write an article on it or anything, but a new esports title or esports league is coming, and it's for Farming Simulator, which makes sense whatsoever.
Well, I mean, you gotta get the corn in.
Yeah. It's kind of funny that there is going to be a Farming Simulator esports league. I don't know what to really say about it.
There's a large portion of this country that is probably just prime for that, but you're just not a part of it.
I'm definitely not.
Actually, you're surrounded by it, though. If I remember from my trip through Pennsylvania,
farms here.
It is nothing but farms until your house. So.
No, there's a lot of things before my house, but
this is nothing but Amish and farms.
But
sorry.
But yeah, so very interesting.
One that I never would have predicted, like you said.
Yeah.
We're just not good at guessing things right now, I guess.
Yeah, I'm trying to find the information.
I have actually.
Here's the reason. Here's the reason is that Farming Simulator is. I'm trying to read this really quickly we're on the podcast.
I've actually played this game, believe it or not.
Okay, so it's one of the top 20 most played PC games in North America and Europe. So I guess,
I had to help somebody at work. His son's computer was messed up, so this game just broke in the middle of him playing it. So I was fixing it. So I have some experience with it. Apparently, it's got all of the skins and stuff that you imagine. Like you can buy tractors and stuff with actual money. So it's a that's a big deal too.
And there's big Farming Simulator tournaments all year.
Wow. Well, I mean, it's.
And there's a 250 250,000 pound, which I don't know what that is in U.S., but I mean around the same, like at least
260 maybe.
Yeah, at least $250,000 prize pool. So I mean,
it's a big deal, man.
Yeah, pretty interesting.
We should have had Mark on to talk about it.
Yeah, our friend Mark. He lives on a farm. He's an expert. So yeah, so very interesting, I would say. Very, very interesting. But that is our news for the week. Awesome stuff. Really excited to see kind of what the Radeon 7 will be and the what's it called? And the GTX 1660 Ti. Just You know.
I feel another disappointment coming on.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. Did you see the news today? NVIDIA, not very happy about their whole sales and stuff right now.
So yeah, so that I believe this. That happened on Monday. NVIDIA, their sales weren't as expected, and their stock plummeted. I think at least 15%, if not more.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's pretty bad. But yeah, we'll see how all this shapes up. But talking about what we have coming next week, we have a beginner's guide on how to stream to Twitch. So this is something that Ryan's doing because he's the pro gamer of our group. And
he is a pro gamer, just
a guide kind of showing you how to stream to Twitch. I think a lot of people are kind of like, how do I do this? Even when I first did it, I was like, I had to read all these different guides online. So we're going to make our own guide, kind of like, here it is, here's how to do it, step by step and all that. So I think it would be pretty excited for that to come out. And then
yeah, I might actually have to read that one.
Yeah, you might. Yeah, you might become a pro gamer, pro streamer.
Well, I mean, yeah, I'm really good. So
I'll be taking a look at the Metallic Gear Neo case. This is basically Fantex's like low cost brand. So this is an ATX case. You have two tempered glass side panels. It's pretty nice. I'll be doing my install here in the next couple days. So pretty excited to check
it looks that. Cool.
Yeah, it does look cool, and it's actually quite nice. And then I'll be taking a look at another NVMe drive. This one is from ADATA. It's their XPG SX 8200. Pretty fast, 3,500 megabytes a second read, 3,000 megabytes a second write. Nice little drive for doing some cool stuff. And Ryan, we'll be taking a look at a Cooler Master product. It is their MM830 gaming mouse. It looks quite nice. He said he actually really likes it. So pretty cool stuff to check out, I would say. And it has like an OLED screen that kind of shows you what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Speed and DPI or more than
that? It'd show you like DPI levels. You can put like your clan logo on there. It looks like we'll have some other stuff. Like I'm looking at the page now. It has like your CPU usage and things like that. Although I believe
it's right where your thumb goes there.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. So I think it was just like, I don't know. I guess we'll see what Ryan thinks of it and if it's actually useful or not.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the things that we have coming up next week. And of course, at the end of the podcast, we talk about if we watched any movies or did anything or saw some or checked out any new tech. Did you?
I did some movie watching over the past few days. Two notable ones: First Man, it's really the Neil Armstrong story, landing on the moon, and it's from a perspective we've never seen before, and it's really well done.
Yeah, I saw that. I was thinking about watching.
Way worth
that,
checking out. I'd say 8 or 9 out of 10 on that one.
Nice.
And then Bad Times at El Royale. It's a thriller, and it's kind of in the Kill Bill. Like, it reminded me a bit of Kill Bill, the whole Tarantino feel, but it's not. It was good. Thoroughly enjoyable. Well worth checking out. Probably not quite as highly rated as First Man, but worth checking out for sure.
Nice. I haven't really done much, so.
No, bummer.
Yeah, just working on products. Hopefully you guys notice the audio sounds better. I've been recording in Adobe Audition instead of Audacity. So that should help out far better. So let us know if we sound good or not, or at least I sound good or not.
I am not using Audition. I'm not paying for that. Are you serious?
But yeah, it's part of my Creative Cloud deal. So yeah,
it's the full package.
Yes,
I only have the initial package. So
yeah, So that is going to wrap it up, guys. As I always say, we have our full show notes page that has everything that we talked about. So if you're looking for even more details, you can go ahead and click through. And to find us on your favorite podcasting software, it's just Think Computers, all one word. So until next week, catch you guys later.